Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody on the planet Earth should get information from the Green Bay about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde and every day of the year. So you go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and then you can check out Wilde and Tausch. And then, of course, a couple days that he's on, the segment he does with Bulaga is spectacular. This one's okay. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon to the GOATs. Appreciate you making time for me. Yes, the segments with Brian are great, but don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch.
Thank you. All right, let's get to everybody wants to know what you're thinking 8 days before the draft. Do you want to know?
Sydney just asked me, what do you think they're going to take in the first round?
I'm not asking about who you're going to take because I don't know what angle you're looking at. I don't know because I know you don't focus on some of the stuff the other people do, but I know. So do you just get ready or what curiosity do you have?
I have lots of curiosity. I am just against the draft industrial complex in which. You know, I saw somebody tweet, I don't know who this was today that I saw, I was skimming through Twitter, but like somebody put out their 10th mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
10th? Like, not a mock draft anymore. And mm-hmm. No one ever goes back and grades all these and says, oh, this guy, you know, did a 7-round mock draft for the Packers and Packers picked 0 of the guys that were on his list.
Like, I'm like you. I want a list of how you rank the players and then see how close you are to judging the talent.
And Dane Brugler does great. I can't, like, for those that aren't subscribed to either The Athletic or The New York Times, with which you get your Athletic subscription, I don't tend to promote other people's work as often as I used to. But Dane's work, it is worth the subscription just to be, if you're a draft fan, to be able to read his work.
And if you don't get it, you can get it for a month for like $1 or $2, whatever. So.
True. Yeah, if you want to circumvent the system, sure. The point being, he's like today's Joel Buxbaum, who used to do it before he passed away. He was a legend, right? And obviously Mel Kiper is a legend as well. So those two are kind of the godfathers, but I think, you know, I don't know if Mel has any relationship with Dane, but I would guarantee that Joel would look at his work, RIP, and say, this guy gets it. This guy does it the way I did it. This is well worth your time. I mean, he calls his preview guide the Beast, and it's enormous. Like, he's got everybody in there. It's fantastic. So I was actually reading that just now when you called because I'm going through my preview stuff, and I'm up to the defensive line. And, you know, I think it's interesting that, you know, the Packers have had 3 different defensive tackles in for visits. The guy from Ohio State, Mike Hall, the guy from LSU, and then a kid from Northern Iowa, Christian Boyd. And that tells me that they're serious about the position as being in need. Now, the first two guys I mentioned are pegged as second or third round picks, so day 2 picks, which would make perfect sense. They've got 2 second round picks, 2 third round picks. If they stay put, that's 4 picks to choose from. In theory, you can use that on a defensive lineman. You got Kenny Clark going into the last year of his deal. You got TJ Slayton going into the last year of his deal. I definitely think they're going to pick at least one, if not more, defensive lineman. Boyd is a little different, though. Boyd is a 6th round pick, but he's the other the defensive tackle who came in for a visit. So that tells me that they view the opportunity to find a good player. You know, Ted used to say the good Lord only made so many big guys, and he was right. So they're looking. They're clearly looking. They like Colby Wooden. They like Carl Brooks.
Is that position becoming more important?
I don't know if it's becoming more important because with the 4-3 switch, you know.
Or you need more people. They don't all play. You want to rotate more than play people all the time. I'm asking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right.
I mean, I think they actually were probably more important when, you know, they were a 4-3 defense and you played that group more often. You played four down linemen more often than you do now. You know, but I'll say this, like they're going to, this doesn't include edge rushers. These are big, you know, the Kenny Clark types. And those guys are always valuable. I just don't think if you're gonna put guys on the field in most passing situations, you know, you're going to have four guys up front. But, you know, Kenny Clark might be one of them, but the other three guys are going to be able to be – they're guys that are going to get after the quarterback.
I have another question that doesn't have to do with the draft.
Right.
Did you read the story all about Bill Belichick and the premise that, like, he had the job with the Falcons and then – Arthur Blank, the owner.
Robert Kraft ruined it.
Well, then, but then Arthur Blank. No, he can't. Arthur Blank's an idiot. Well, how could he ruin it? What could he say that wouldn't make you not want to hire
him? He listened. Yeah, I don't know. He said that you'll never have a genuine conversation, a warm, genuine conversation with him. You can't trust him. Like, he stabbed Belichick in the back.
How now, long I did would, he work would, for? He Okay, he, you can't trust him. How many years did he work for you? Oh, explain that.
Yeah, I don't know why. They kind of lost me at the they had their first one-on-one interview, Blank and Belichick, on Blank's $180 million super yacht.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really identify with that. And good for him that he's got that kind of discretionary income.
But, I mean, I'm Arthur Blank, and whatever – Kraft says, I go, well, like, he worked for you for how many
then
years?
Why, yeah.
What?
Well, he kept winning. He
yeah.
kept winning. So I maybe he didn't like him the whole time and wanted to get rid of him, but he made him a very rich, successful man. I mean, winning championships makes a lot of money for your team that you own. So, you know, maybe he tolerated him. I don't know. I don't know why you would listen, though, if you own your team.
Right.
And you believe that Bill Belichick still is a great coach. Now, if you think he was a great coach, but that he's 72 years old and he no longer has the mental acuity or the desire or the work ethic, if you thought those things and you said, no, we're going to go with a younger guy that I like a lot, he hasn't won a Super Bowl or six, but I like this guy better, fine. But if you were, according to the story, they got off the super yacht, and he was the guy. Blank was going to hire him. Mm-hmm. And then he talked to Robert Kraft a couple times, and he decided to hire Raheem Morris. And look, Raheem Morris he's an impressive guy. I've listened to him multiple times over the years. We did conference calls with him during his first head coaching stint. He was with Tampa Bay. He's a smart, likable 2024 style head coach.
Yeah.
Players love him, right? I don't think anybody is saying that universally players loved Bill Belichick. So maybe you think that his shtick, his coaching style, won't work with today's player. If that's your reason, fine. If you think he's too old, fine. But if you decided that he was, you were fairly certain he was the guy, and then some other owner convinced you otherwise, I'm sorry, I'm not a billionaire, but I would never allow one person's opinion to sway me to that degree. So Arthur Blank has some explaining to do, I would think, to some, especially if the Falcons were wrong in hiring Raheem Morris and they don't succeed.
Yeah, I think he made it up, but I can't.
Who made it up?
Well, I mean, I think he said, like, that's, you know, what he said, or had to come up with some reason that he didn't hire
right,
him.
But so obviously ESPN had sources on this.
Right.
Who, if someone made it up, it's not the reporters. Obviously
no.
People told them this.
Correct.
So who,
yeah.
Who made that up? Blank made it up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Belichick made, I mean, they just announced Belichick is going to be on McAfee's.
Yeah. No, I think Blank made it up. I don't think that's the reason he didn't hire him, but I think that's what he said.
So he just didn't want to hire him, but
and whatever the reason was, he didn't want to say.
But he used this as an excuse.
No, yeah. I mean, okay. And I this is based on the premise. that people just lie now. There's no.
I don't like that.
But you wouldn't you agree that and there's just a certain group of people now that just say, I'll just lie. And then in some cases they can be found out as out lying. So what? Yep.
And they don't care. Yeah. Then they're still like, yeah, I lied.
Yep. I had to protect whomever I needed to protect. I don't have any information on Bill Belichick other than that Tom Brady was right when he said the offense sucks, if that's why he wanted out, right?
I think Bill Belichick deserves an incredible amount of respect and adoration for everything he accomplished as a coach. He's obviously a brilliant coach. If you're a Packers fan, you have to at least, you know, I wasn't alive for Vince Lombardi's tenure in Green Bay, but you have to at least acknowledge the possibility that Belichick was even better
without a doubt
than Lombardi.
He had to do it with different players. I mean, that Lombardi did it with
different
the same
era,
group. Yes.
Free agency, right? Everything. He did have the great core. He had his Bart Starr in Tom Brady. But even if you are giving Bill Belichick the credit he deserves for his coaching greatness, which I do believe he deserves, he did not seem like he was someone who you would enjoy playing for. And his interactions with the media and his interactions with players, I mean, he once, I'll never forget this, like they were at the Super Bowl. He cut a guy like 2 days before the game. Like, that's like Herb Brooks not making the 1960 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Like, geez, like that's tough, but he is a non-emotional kind of fellow when it comes to the business of football. So again, I don't know him. Obviously, I've told my story many times about going out to dinner with some longtime NFL columnists who had taken me under their wing early in my career, and Belichick and Pioli pulling up chairs and sitting with the group, and him just being so fascinating and gregarious and a brilliant storyteller. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, this guy never does this at the podium when he does interviews. He chooses not to show this side of his personality. And all these guys that I look up to are getting regaled with these incredible stories by this great storyteller. But there's no denying his success. Now, if we expect that to have happened in Atlanta, and there's no guarantee of that. Like, they don't have the quarterback, right? They don't have – so – this could all be a moot point, but to your original point, however this story played out, if it is based on a lie, whoever is doing it, like the idea of putting it out there and besmirching Belichick, I understand he's not warm and cuddly, but man, to do that and not be telling the truth, I got a real problem.
Well, what he was told by Kraft and everything could be true. The only part that I'm saying that's not true is that that was the reason why he didn't pick him. But
maybe.
Not based on, I don't know him, but based on we live in a world where people are comfortable with just telling a lie. And I don't know that it applies here, but you've dealt with people and they'll just lie. Well, I had to lie because it was served my best interest. Yeah, but it's a lie. That's the way it goes. There's no.
Yeah. You're. Yeah, that is.
And I don't know what the percentage is, but it used to be like 1%. Now I think it's, I'm not even sure. I think it's probably like 25%. Because to lie.
That sounds like a lie.
the lying, I think that lying is the proper approach because no one's going to believe you if you tell the truth. I mean, lying if you do something bad. If you say you didn't do it, there'll be 10 people, 10%, stupid enough to believe you. So why aren't you better off with 10 people, 10% believing you versus 0%? Because there's an issue of your morals. Well, I'm not sure you have any if you're accused of doing what you did. I don't know. I never got in this disagreement, but then I thought, well, wait, lying makes sense, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's
not going to tell my kids that, but.
Well, yeah. Well, you've lied to them.
Oh, yes.
You know
that's correct. Yes. And I'm very proud of doing what I think was in their best for them. Yep.
The problem is now we have people who take lies and not only believe them, but then turn them into conspiracy theories. And no matter how you, because I was thinking about Rodgers again today, like even if I wanted to try and bring him back from the brink, in my opinion, some of the things like this latest one with the HIV and the government and Fauci and this conspiracy now with HIV, the idea that he believes this, I wouldn't even know where to start to try and get him back from that.
I would start with him. Say whatever you want. People are going to disagree. They think you're wrong. But as a teammate, and for those people who said teammate.
You're right about that. I would never disagree. I agree that it creates distractions that do not benefit the New York Jets. And that would be, from a pragmatic standpoint, I would tell him, this is stupid. Shut up. But from a, do you really believe this stuff? I think, because I don't know how you convince people, because they just have their own set of facts when they believe some of this stuff, right? Like they don't, you could show them facts and then they just dismiss those facts as being false. And so they can continue to believe what they believe, right? My issue is if everything is a conspiracy, then nothing is a conspiracy. Because by making everything a conspiracy, there are things, I believe there are things that are conspiracies that we have not gotten to the bottom of. But if you make everything into a conspiracy, then the things that you can legitimately question get lumped into all the other crazy things you say, and then we can't have conversations about the handful of things that may actually be reasonable to say, no, this is not right. There is a conspiracy that has gone on here. And that, to me, is where he has gotten. But you're right. You made the point this morning on our show, and you're 1,000,000% right. Like, if you don't want to be a distraction and you don't want the Jets, who have been a dysfunctional organization before you got there, and then you believe they were dysfunctional all last season after you got hurt after four snaps, and you came out and publicly said, we have to eliminate distractions and focus on football.
Then you do this.
And then you're going on podcasts saying that Fauci and the government foisted HIV on the country, that becomes from a purely pragmatic standpoint of, is this helping your football team?
No, if I was covering the Jets, I'd want to go to every player and go, so what do you think about what your quarterback says?
Well, right, this is what happened, right? Like,
yeah.
Whether it was the Sandy Hook thing, or then there was that story that Deshaun Kizer told on a podcast where and Rodgers was still here, and I talked to him afterward because I did not want to ask it in the group, but when Kizer told the story about Rodgers asking him if he believed 9/11 was an inside job, and I've told you the story before of John Schneider introducing me to Pete Carroll at the NFL meetings one year, and me being trapped at a table at like the Arizona Biltmore listening to Pete Carroll tell me his version of 9/11 and how it was an inside job, and feeling as uncomfortable as I felt in my entire life. Like, I didn't want to ask Rodgers in front of everybody, do you really think 9/11 was an inside job? But afterward, I was like, what? We're going to have to talk about this, because that, you realize how bad that sounds, right? And he said, well, that's not really what I said. And I wanted to say, yeah, but you said something. He said something along those lines, because Deshaun Kizer didn't make that up.
Correct.
It was a private conversation. Well,
yeah.
Again, I just don't understand it, and I probably
who was the coach who said, or was it GM that said, don't be the center of?
It was don't be the problem.
Yeah,
it was Mark Murphy who allegedly said that to Rodgers. Both denied that was ever actually said.
It's a pretty good line, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I always looked at that as, you know, it was after they hired LaFleur, and obviously Rodgers' relationship with McCarthy had deteriorated. But whether it was said or not, you know, I'm not sure. It was reported that it was. Those two both denied it. But the idea behind it is very much believable.
Yes.
Right? Hey, don't be so damn difficult with the new guy, okay? And in fairness to Rodgers, whether he's told that or not, in 2019 he wasn't a problem. Like, he went along with the offense, and it was, you know, as they spent the COVID offseason going through the offense, and Rodgers said, look, here's a bunch of ways we can make this better, and I kept my mouth shut last year and ran the offense the way it was designed. Well, in 2020 and 2021, dude went out and won back-to-back MVPs, ran the offense the way he thought it should be run, and had a lot of success.
And the rest is history. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Some are so good you need to listen again, and I would say this applies. WisconsinOnDemand.com. Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives into the Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Tim Van Voren isn't next, but soon.